You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
The Fed spoke today, and ouch, Carol Roth will talk to us about that. Mike Slater's going to join us to make us feel better. We have a great tribute and lighten the mood. All that's coming up on I'm Right. You ever taught your kid to ride a bike, or maybe you were taught to ride a bike? Let me tell you something. As a parent, at some point you got to teach a kid to ride a bike, right? And then you start them out, of course, in the training wheels, and eventually they want to drop the training wheels. So you drop the training wheels, but now you got a kid with no training wheels on. He's got a helmet and all that. He's got no training wheels on, though. He's still got to learn how to ride without the training wheels. So what do you do with him? You take him out and you put him in the middle of the pavement, concrete. Hey, have fun, son. Just give him a shove and just watch as he just tears all the skin off his elbows and knees. No, of course not. You know what you do as a parent? Little tidbit. You take him to the grass. Take him to some cushy grass hill or grassy area, and you have him practice there. So when they biff it, it ain't that bad. A controlled fall. And he's going to eat it. You want him to eat it. He's got to learn to balance himself, but you don't want to kill him, right? That's what you're seeing right now with Joe Biden and this classified documents thing. FBI searched Joe Biden's home again today. They search Joe Biden's home virtually every day now. Why? Because apparently Joe Biden takes classified documents home from the office the way you would steal a paperclip, and then he just tosses them any different place. Doesn't matter that Corinne Diversity hired denied six times in one day that there's anything else.
The search is clearly complete. They completed the search. The search is complete. He is confident in this process. You should assume that it's been completed, yes. After the search concluded last night, that search was completed last night.
Not really. This is Joe Biden on the grass. That's what this is. They are demolishing Joe Biden's political career. They don't want him to run again. All these are activist Democrats. Every single FBI agent, DOJ, every single person discovering the documents, everyone involved in this is an activist Democrat. There aren't Republicans taking down Joe Biden. This is Democrats taking down Joe Biden slowly and gently. Joe, you're going to fall, but hey, let's get you over to the grass. Oh, we found some more. Hey, we found some more. Oh, they're cooperating. Shouldn't be a problem. And eventually, you know how this ends? Joe decides, for the good of the party and the nation, he's not going to run in 2024. Maybe this young reporter chick would be happy about it, because man alive, Joe Biden gets handsy around the chicks.
What's behind your decision to end the COVID emergency?
COVID emergency will end when the Supreme Court ends it. We've extended to May the 15th to make sure we get everything done.
Seems to be common. All right, but we're not here to talk about Joe today. The Fed spoke today, which generally, I mean, anymore, that's never a fun thing. That's always bad. How bad? I don't know. Let's ask Carol. Here's what the Fed chairman had to say.
Today, the FOMC raised our policy interest rate by 25 basis points. We continue to anticipate that ongoing increases will be appropriate.
Okay, Carol. Obviously, this is Carol Roth. She wrote the incredible book, The War on Small Business, Recovering Investment Banker. Everyone knows Carol Roth by now. Carol, break this down in words that are, I don't know, English. We increased the rate by 25 basis points. What is this supposed to mean to me as just a normal person?
Well, I think the first thing that everyone should take away is the insanity that instead of the economy running in normal cycles, we have these handful of people who are playing God with the economy. They've been rigging Wall Street at the expense of Main Street. It's completely insane. And now they're deciding, you know, from meeting to meeting, how much they are increasing their target rate, which is a rate that banks are supposed to be lending to each other at, which really flows through the rest of the economy. It helps to set rates on things like mortgages and car loans and things like that. But the bigger issue isn't really the size of the hike or, you know, how many we have or when they pause and all these things that everybody's obsessed over. The bigger issue is that they are trying to destroy demand when we are facing supply constrained issues. So they're putting out policy trying to make us stop spending and businesses stop spending and government stop spending instead of increasing the supply of energy or the supply of homes or the supply of labors, which would be done not through the Fed, but through other fiscal policy. And the reality is that none of the people who they're trying to destroy demand for really are playing along. We know that the government isn't cutting spending and has no plans to do so anytime soon. Businesses, you know, they have been cutting some of their costs a little bit, but they've been also trying to pass on price hikes to consumers. Consumers have been hanging in and eating into their personal wealth. So I think that's really the bigger issue, is that we have, you know, all of these people who are coming in, and instead of letting the free markets do what they should do and sort things out, are putting their thumb on the scale, and it always ends up working out better for the wealthy and well-connected. Go figure, Jesse.
What a shock. The wealthy and well-connected are the ones making the decisions. It always seems to work out well for them. I'm stunned. Carol, let's rewind back to some stuff, some basic stuff for you, but I'm stupid, so I need you to explain it. Why are the banks loaning to each other? Doesn't this bank have all the money and this bank has all the money? They're loaning to each other? I don't understand.
Yeah, these are overnight raids. And this is going to get really wonky because there are all these rules in place that they've put aside. But like the theory is that they have to keep a certain amount of reserves with the Federal Reserve. And in to do that, if they don't have enough money one day, they're going to loan to each other. So it's like a whole insane banking system sort of scenario. But I guess the point is that the banks could be setting those rates in a free market scenario themselves. They don't really need the Fed to tell them what those rates are. And it's just another one of these quote unquote tools, which means opportunities for central planners to come in and tip the scales in favor of whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish, which we, as we just covered, is never in favor of you or me or the average American.
All right, Carol, the debt ceiling fight. What is this? Does this have anything to do with the economy? Everyone knows they're going to raise the freaking debt ceiling again. They're not going to cut any significant amount of spending. This is the least traumatic drama I've ever seen in my entire life. But what does any of this mean to me?
Well, you know, as Congress is a place where they perform political theater and legally launder money, this whole scenario gives them an opportunity to get into both of those. As you noted, in the short term, we are not going to default on our debt. The reality is that there are plenty of other ways they could lease out some of the things that they own. They could sell off assets, other things to pay for debt payments should they have to do it. But the bigger issue, and this is why this is so frustrating, is the debt ceiling's a fight over how we're financing previous overspending. It is not addressing the overspending. So you're looking at, you know, something going on the freak show, you know, on the side of the circus instead of what's happening at the main event. And the reality is, if we don't stop spending, it's just going to be an issue. And tying this back to what we just talked about with the Fed, you know, the Fed holding down interest rates let the government rack up debt and not have to pay, you know, very much on that debt at all. As these rates are going up, it's becoming more and more expensive. It's time for the government to go, okay, it's our turn now. And we understand that we got away with some stuff, but we should be changing course here because the current trajectory we're on is unsustainable. But of course, there's nothing that looks like fiscal responsibility. And unfortunately, you know, when the GOP gets involved, there's only posturing. There's no actual real action. So it's a really big issue and challenge. And at the end of the day, it's only going to impact our purchasing power and our ability to, you know, to have the same quality of life going forward that we've had in the past.
Carol, you're right. Republicans love to spout this line about spending as soon as Democrats take over, but they do the same thing. Okay, so Democrats aren't going to stop spending, and Republicans aren't going to stop spending, even though they'll lie about it. So we're driving off the cliff. I mean, you say unsustainable. It ain't going to be sustained. We're going to go off the cliff. What does that mean?
That's a good question. There are lots of people who are sort of pontificating about what, you know, the next sort of financial world order or financial reset looks like. Certainly, it's not going to allow the U.S. to be the same power center that it is. Whether that means new blocks align, you know, or some other country potentially emerges as a power, at the end of the day, it just means that we're going to have less ability to purchase things with our dollars, and we're going to have a lower quality of life. We may have less access to critical things that we need in our lives, whether that be medicines or foods or whatever. I mean, it really takes us out of that pole position of helping to drive the world economy. And the benefit of doing that is making our lives better. So it is not a good development. And, you know, the problem with the driving off the cliff, if you've watched any of the Wile E. Coyote cartoons in the past, is that you just don't know where that is. So you just keep going and go, oh, I've got space. But once you're over that edge, you know, the coyote drops down, and then that becomes the problem. And, you know, without somebody showing some level of restraint, because I do think this is fixable, but without showing some level of restraint, if it continues on this trajectory, you know, we're talking about things like they're projecting over the next several decades, $60 trillion just in interest expense on the debt. That's three times the current GDP. You know, the only way that happens is everything gets inflated so much that your dollar becomes worthless. And as I'm fond of saying, and may or may not be related to things I'm writing about, you know, they're projecting it. You will own nothing.
Oof. Carol Roth, appreciate you very much. Come back.
You as well.
Trillions of dollars. Golly, that just hurts. Oh, man. All right. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's not like we can control it. You can't control it. I can't control it. Hey, get your testosterone levels up so at least you'll be in a good mood. At least you'll have energy. Ladies, you want more energy too? Better mood? Naturally. No more chemicals. No more big pharma. Natural herbal supplements from the hardcore anti-communists at Chalk. Did I ever tell you the boys at Chalk, they were getting censored on social media during COVID for their pro-freedom stance, and that's how we got to know each other? I love these guys, man. They're our people. And again, natural herbal supplements. 90 days. You take it for 90 days, and you tell me how incredible you feel. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off the subscriptions. Male vitality stack, female vitality stack. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, all right? We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
The idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews, just understand, and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say, that's called World War III, okay? Let's get it straight here, guys.
Today, I'm announcing that the United States will be sending 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine.
Okay, well, that's awkward now, isn't it? Joining me now, help me make some sense of this, Brian Dean Wright, whose President's Daily Brief podcast is killing it. Who doesn't want all the news of the day in less than 20 minutes? Very, very proud of you. One, brother. Two, okay, Brian, is it World War III? It obviously seems like an escalation. At the same time, it doesn't seem like that many tanks, but we are sending tanks. What's going on?
Yeah. So here's the bottom line. Last winter and spring, the United States, the CIA, and the Pentagon in particular, assumed that basically any kind of war material going to the Ukrainians could result in some degree of massive response by the Russians. And so we just sort of put our little toes in the water with, you know, very modest amounts of drones and some weaponry, some flak jackets and helmets. But then even with that very modest amount of material, the Russians didn't respond. No real sabotage operations, no, you know, bombing of any American interests abroad. And so that showed the CIA and the CIA, or the Pentagon rather, that look, actually, we can do a little bit more. Let's keep pressing the red line. Let's see if we can find it. And so that's what we have been doing now for about 10, 11 months. And that's why these tanks are yet the latest addition to this escalatory calculus of, hey, Russia hasn't done anything so far, so let's keep pushing the envelope. Now we've got some tanks, maybe some planes, but boy, oh boy, isn't that risky? We're throwing the dice on this because we don't know when that red line will be. And the guy that we're trying to push, Vladimir Putin, well, he's got a nuclear, you know, arsenal that if we go too far, we could have some very serious problems. So we're playing a big, big game here. Joe Biden was right last winter and spring, and he's just pressing his luck.
Okay, we'll deal with the potential problems in a second. Let's deal with something you just said. He hasn't responded yet. He hasn't responded yet. He hasn't responded yet. Because I've been waiting for this too. Now, you're much more educated on this stuff than I am, but I was expecting cyber. I was actually expecting more cyber attacks by now because I know the Ruskies do that pretty well. But there hasn't been something significant yet, as you just pointed out. Why do you think that is? I know you can't crawl into Putin's brain, but I've been waiting for it. I haven't seen it yet. Why hasn't it come?
Well, I think two things. One, there has been a little bit. We've seen, like, for instance, in Germany, there were some sabotage operations of the rail lines there, probably Russian. We've seen a little bit in the United States, but you're right, not to the scale that most of us expected. And I think there are probably two reasons for that. First, I think that the NSA probably went in and damaged a lot of the Russians' abilities last January and February. We do have some data to suggest open source, that is to say, in the open press, the NSA actually did that. So that's, I think, part of it. The other is that I think Putin is keeping his powder dry on this. I think that he's waiting for the moment to unleash the big guns. And he doesn't think that the risk of when he does that, you know, he could face a degree of reaction and escalatory response by the United States and the West. So he doesn't want to tick us off too much either. So he thinks that he can sort of wrap this war up in Ukraine without exacting a major cost to himself, that blowback for Russia. So that's why I suspect he's being cautious himself. But I'll tell you, these jets and these tanks, I think, are starting to change the calculus for that regime in Moscow. And I think we're about to find a red line, and I don't think we're going to like when we see it.
Okay, Brian, people aren't on the ground. They don't know what's what. And they don't understand, especially because of all the military equipment and personnel that's been supplied by us and others. Do you have any sense of handicapping this whole thing? Who's winning? Who's losing? Is Putin just got to ride this out? He's going to win it anyway? Or the Ukrainians got enough of our stuff? They're going to win? What's happening?
Yeah, bottom line is this is a war of attrition. I think both sides have enough friends in their corners, as it were. Like if this were a boxing match, I think right now both sides are laying some pretty serious bloody blows on each other, knocking each other to the ground. But they're both still fighting. China is assisting and aiding the Russians along with others like Saudi Arabia. They're all providing the money that Russia needs and in some cases the equipment to keep fighting, like some computer chips we now know are coming from China into Russia to help them with the missiles and so forth that they need to keep throwing and launching at Ukraine. And of course, the Ukrainians, good Lord, they've got our tanks, they've got all kinds of equipment, and they have for many, many months now. So they're still fighting. Manpower? Ultimately, the Russians have more of it, but Putin's going to have problems conscripting all of those folks. Until then, they've got this paramilitary group called the Wagner Group. They're, I think, 50 to 100,000 former prisoners that they're collecting from around the world, throwing those guys in Ukraine, fighting on behalf of the Russians. So far, this thing's pretty equally nasty. And that's, I think, ultimately why the Biden administration and others are saying, we got to do something to change this because this sucker is getting real expensive and real dangerous. We got to whip this war in the butt and get it done with. That's why I think you're seeing the tanks and possibly the planes.
Okay, let's pause on this for just a moment because actually that sounds really cool. Horrifying, but kind of cool. You're telling me there's a 50 to 100,000 group of convict mercenaries called the Wagner Group? What?
Yeah, it's crazy. So the Wagner Group, of course, is all around the world operating on behalf of the Russian government. And they're defending different interests in different places in the world, and getting Moscow into bed with, say, African regimes fighting in places like Mali and Burkina Faso. So this group, the Wagner Group, is basically opening up prison cells in various parts of the world to include Russia, hiring these guys, saying, look, we're going to give you your freedom and some money, but you got to go to Ukraine and fight. And yeah, there are tens of thousands of these prisoners that the Russians are now arming and saying, you're cannon fodder, but at least you're not in prison. Fight for us. And a lot of guys are signing up for it.
This is absolutely fascinating. Okay, now let's move. I'm not even getting to close to all the things I want, because this stuff is fascinating. Let's move to this red line you were talking about. What is something we can reasonably expect, assuming Putin is going to hit the red line? Are we talking about a cyber attack like we mentioned earlier? Are we talking about New York City glowing in the dark, God forbid? What's something he would do and could do?
Well, he does have good cyber capabilities, and I think that you are right to say he can shut down things like our power plants, right? So that's obviously a big problem when your hospitals don't have power, your grocery stores don't have power. He has that ability. Now, we have tried to harden our systems, but that's definitely one thing he could do. You probably have seen some recent attacks at our airports, shutting down towers. He could do something like that as well. The big one is around energy, specifically pipelines. We've seen that in the past as well. So Putin does have an ability to do some pretty nasty stuff if he finally gets to the point where he thinks he's going to lose this war. He can throw a lot at this, to include a demonstration of his nuclear power, launching a nuclear explosion over the Black Sea or somewhere in the Baltic Sea, to just show the world, like, look, if you're going to push me to the point where I lose, we all lose. This ain't going to just be me that goes down.
Yeah, that's what I've been worried about. All right, finally, you're talking a lot about the new Cold War. The new Cold War. What are you talking about? What is this?
Yeah, so obviously the old one, Soviet Union versus the United States. This one is China versus America. And just like we saw back in the old days, China and the United States are both trying to find friends around the world to help, them to their side. Well, the United States just recently got the Japanese and the Netherlands to block the export of some advanced computer chips to China. So that's one demonstration of why it's great to have some friends on your side to prevent those advanced computer chips from helping the Chinese develop their military. Well, the Chinese is developing their own set of friends and allies. For instance, recently Bolivia just gave the Chinese government, specifically a company that is controlled by the government, the ability to access all their lithium mines. And that's a big deal, because obviously the world's embracing this, what I call, dirty green energy revolution. Yeah, that's going to be a problem if China does in fact continue to control 70 to 80+% of the world's mining and refining capabilities of things like lithium and cobalt, right? So it's kind of like OPEC and OPEC Plus. They control oil. China is getting in on this too, and they're kind of becoming a cartel of one. So this Cold War II is all about China versus America, and who has friends and what do those friends control in the global economy.
Brian Dean Wright, President's Daily Brief Podcast. Thank you, brother.
You bet.
All right. We still got more. You think we're going to let all the COVID stuff go? We're never going to let that go. We'll do that here in a second. Now, do keep in mind something that he just said. Power plants. I've been warning you about this over and over again, about the Russians and their ability to shut down pipelines and shut down power plants. I'm not a technical person, so the more I talk to these people, the more horrified I get about how vulnerable critical systems are. You know that if your power plants go away, if they shut down your power, you know your grocery store goes away, right? That stuff isn't all just stay there. It goes away. You show up and the lights are going to be off. The door's going to be locked. Do you have emergency food for your people, for the people in your home? Does everyone in your home have 3 months worth of food? If you do, good. Just be honest with yourself. If you don't, you need to start working on it. You need to start building that stuff up. If you don't know where to begin, how to do that, My Patriot Supply is partnered with the show. They have emergency 3-month food kits ready to go. 2,000 calories a day. That's what you're going to need. Look, that's the easy route. It ships anonymously. It ships fast. They're $200 off right now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, all right? MyPatriotSupply.com. We'll be back. I have some flaws. Do you know that? I know you're shocked by that, but I've got some flaws. And maybe what I'm about to tell you is a flaw. All right, it's just you and me talking here. Maybe this is something wrong with me. But I don't let things go. When I've been wronged by somebody, I mean really, really done wrong. I don't mean the fast food clerk forgot to put cheese on my burger. I mean somebody does me wrong and then never owns up to it, never apologizes. I don't just move on. And maybe that's a flaw. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. Maybe it's both. I don't know. But I don't move on. And sometimes I can get resentful of people who do. And here's part of what I mean. COVID was such an ugly memory, such a dark thing for so many people, for so many different reasons, that many people now, they just want to move on. They want to move on. They don't want to hear about what Democrats did. They don't want to hear about what Republicans did, what doctors did, what the CDC did, what Fauci did. They don't want to hear about Pfizer. They just kind of want to be done with it, right? Not reliving your abuse kind of a situation. And so if that's where you're coming at it from, I get it. But I'm sorry. You do understand. If that's you, you just want to move on. You want to forget about it. You understand that the United States of America became a tyranny like that overnight. In response to a virus, the United States of America became a place where politicians were allowed to point at you and say, go lose your livelihood. Hey, close your business. Nope, no paycheck for you. That's a tyranny. You live in a tyranny. And just because some of these things are easing off, these restrictions are going away, that doesn't change the fact you just learned that you have a bunch of tyrants in charge of you and a bunch of apparatchiks living next to you, working with you, maybe in your family, maybe your friends. And so I'm sorry. I know it's 2023 and I get it. I'm not moving on. And I'm not simply going to let all the revisionist history happen either. For instance, the Republican Party loves to act like they're the pro-freedom party now. Pro-freedom, oh, COVID lockdowns, what? I saw this yesterday, and I'm sorry, out of James Comer, I saw this yesterday, and it didn't inspire me. It kind of made me scoff.
This week, the Oversight Committee will kick off a very busy oversight agenda with our first hearing investigating the massive waste of taxpayer dollars in pandemic spending. For the past 2 years, Democrats did not conduct a single hearing of oversight of what may turn out to be the greatest theft of American taxpayer dollars in history. After rushing through inflation-inducing government spending under the guise of pandemic relief, hundreds of billions of dollars have been stolen from American taxpayers, lining the pockets of criminals and foreign adversaries. But under Republican leadership, the Oversight Committee is returning to its primary duty to root out waste, fraud, abuse, and mismanagement in the federal government.
Okay. Billions in COVID relief turned out to be wasted, stolen, and he blamed that all on Democrats. You know, that is interesting because I distinctly remember, it almost seems like it was yesterday. Maybe I've been hit in the head. It seems like it was Republicans working hand in hand with Democrats as soon as COVID got here to pass massive bill after massive bill after massive bill. And now you expect me to sit here and take you at your word that you're going to dig into the waste? You got to figure out the fraud. You know where the fraud is? Look in the mirror. Those are the frauds. The Republicans who spent a ton of money, and now want to look at Democrats and only blame them. You want to root out the corruption? Well, why don't you start by eliminating government agencies? I mean, after all, they're all rich anyway. Right now, according to the Federalist, thousands of federal employees double-dipped on the COVID funds, meaning they're sitting at home still collecting a paycheck, went and got unemployment as well. What about you go root my money out? Thank you, Operation Warp Speed. Again, not only passed by Democrats, passed by Republicans, signed by a Republican president, handing out inhuman amounts of money to gigantic pharmaceutical companies while also absolving them of liability. Do you want to know what Pfizer's numbers are? How was your year? You know what Pfizer's year was like? $100.3 billion last year alone. $100.3 billion. And this is the same Pfizer that James O'Keefe from Project Veritas have made extra famous recently with that undercover video with the guy who supposedly works at Pfizer claiming they're actually engineering the virus. And then we have the Pfizer CEO. What do you think about this answer?
A lot of indications right now that are telling us that there is a protection against transmission of the disease.
There is no variant that we have identified that escapes the protection of our vaccine.
Against COVID, to come now with a treatment of 90% effectiveness, you know, personally makes me a lot very proud about it.
And we know that the two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection, if any. The three doses with a booster, they offer reasonable protection.
It is necessary a fourth boost right now. The protection that you are getting from the third, it is good enough, actually quite good for hospitalizations and deaths. It's not that good against infections, but doesn't last.
That guy made a fortune last year. Made a fortune with your money. Keep in mind, the government buying all these. Your money. That guy made a fortune. How was your year? And again, back to the whole Republicans trying to wash their hands of it thing. All the DeSantis, Trump back and forth already beginning.
Florida was actually closed for a very long period of time. Remember, we closed the beaches and everything else. You know, it's, they're trying to rewrite history.
I roll out of bed. I have people attacking me from all angles. It's been happening for many, many years. And if you look at the good thing about it, though, is like if you take a crisis situation like COVID, you know, the good thing about it is when you're an elected executive, you have to make all kinds of decisions. You got to steer that ship. And the good thing is that the people are able to render a judgment on that, whether they reelect you or not. And I'm happy to say, you know, in my case, not only did we win reelection, we won with the highest percentage of the vote that any Republican governor candidate has in the history of the state of Florida.
Okay. I'm sure you're on one of those guys' teams. Well, you probably are. You're a Team Trump guy, Team DeSantis guy. It's fine. But you both were lockdown guys. And I know, look, I know because you're on somebody's team. That's how people normally are. That's not who I am. It's fine. I know that may make you mad. Well, I don't care if it makes you mad. You were both lockdown guys, and I remember you. I will say this to Heavy D's credit, at least he owned it. Apologized for it and said it would never happen again, but you were both lockdown guys. So you throw all the mud you wanted each other now. I remember what you became when a virus got here. I remember I was there. And those of you who've been watching I'm Right for a couple years remember what I said on day one when lockdowns were even suggested. Freaking tyranny. Disastrous. All right, we're moving on. You know what? Let's move on. You know what I need? You know what I need in my life? I need Mike Slater to give me some perspective. That's what I need right now. You know what else I need? I need some precious metals. Why? Because I like them. And because they make me feel secure financially. Look, every single time a bank account makes me feel insecure financially now. It does. With what they're doing with the dollar every day. You saw what the feds did today. Raised rates up again. Who's been telling you to get some precious metals in your possession? Get some precious metals in your portfolio. You know, that can become part of your 401k, your IRA, right? So you don't have to sit and stress about every massive fluctuation in the market. Oxford Gold has their portfolio protection plan. They make it super easy. It's laid back. It's not complicated. They'll make it easy, all right? Call 833-995-GOLD and you tell them Jesse told you to call. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
But if you're new to the podcast, we take a story of the day and that's causing anxiety. We break it down. We lament the brokenness. of what's going on. And then we give some historical perspective and biblical peace that hopefully makes that anxiety go away. And then something that is in your control. A lot of the anxiety comes from first, oh, this has never happened before. Nope, nothing new under the sun. And also, it's totally out of my control. And a lot of it is, but there are things that are in your control. So when you can focus on those, then the anxiety goes away. So that's why we're here.
Joining me now, my friend Mike Slater, always makes me feel better. Host of the Politics by Faith podcast, also has a special out on the first, which we'll get to in a minute, Mike. We'll talk about your special in a minute. First, let's talk about DirecTV. We're on DirecTV now. I already felt like a huge important celebrity, but now I've taken to just autographing things for people randomly. It's just, I'm a different person now, Mike.
Totally. What an honor for DirecTV. And for all the people around the nation who now get to see the most handsome man in radio. How wonderful for them. Jesse, I got a bone I got to pick with you.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Oh, DirecTV, they've never been better. I got a bone to pick with you, Jesse. This is about your book. Every time I'm on your show, and it's an honor, you always ask me, the last question is, okay, Slater, what do we do? That's always your last question. And I always give a terrible answer. And I go the whole rest of the day thinking about what I should have said and all this stuff. And honestly, as I'm giving a terrible answer in my head, I'm thinking, I don't know, Jesse, that's why I listen to you. You're the what do we do guy. So you're asking me, what do we do? And I'm like, I don't know. We all bring different skill sets to the table, and mine is not what do we do, but I'm stoked about your book because the book is what do we do? So I'm annoyed at you. Stop asking me what to do.
All right, I'll stop asking you what to do, but let me give you some advice, Mike. This has always carried me so well. Whenever I do an interview, as soon as it's done, I never think about it again. I automatically assume that I was incredible and witty and that it was the best thing they've ever heard, and I never give it a second thought. When you only focus on yourself, Mike, and never care about others, life gets so much easier. Why can't you do that?
Yeah, I don't sleep that night. All I do is I think about what I should have said, and I blew the show, and I blew the opportunity, and Jesse will never have me on again, and now we're going to get kicked off DirecTV because I gave such a terrible answer. So we're different. That's why I need more of you.
All right.
I need to be more like you. I can't wait for the book.
Tyree Nichols, by the way.
On that police video, we're looking at evil, and you have to stop it at its root. What is the root of evil? In this case, it's systemic racism.
What happened to Tyree Nichols was as American as apple pie.
Do we need to see white people also get beaten before anybody will do anything? I'm not suggesting that, so don't write us and tell me what a racist I am.
Yeah. Mike, give us some perspective, because the whole thing was ugly. The beating was ugly. It was just like the whole thing was awful, and how they exploited it was awful, and everyone feels yucky about it. Make us feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we should. And that's part of the podcast, too, is we lament. We lament the brokenness. I think that's important to do that, lean into that, so you can bounce out of it. First of all, I saw your special on America's Worst Cities. Memphis was overlooked. Memphis is a horrible, horrible place. So I love the making this a white supremacy thing, because that's just all they got. The claim from the left is that anti-blackness is so pervasive, so systemic, that even black people hate black people. How about that? Right? You white people are so racist, you've made black people racist, which is pretty astounding. I don't know why anyone would be a police officer today. We talk a little bit about this on the podcast, because if you hesitate, you can die. Because they say he grabbed for my gun. You hear the officers in the video say he grabbed for my gun. If you hesitate, you could die. And then if you act too quickly and too harshly, then you go to jail for the rest of your life. That's not worth it for $60,000 a year. Officers need to have supreme self-control. So the two things we talk about, because almost in every situation, both people are to blame in some way. So we talk about Romans 13, obeying authority, and police are ministers of God. We go through Romans 13, which is not tricky. It's very clear, but it's hard to accept. So we kind of break that down, which is difficult to do. But then we also talk about self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And if these men and women, police officers, are going to be ministers of God as underneath the authority that God has instilled, as clearly outlined in Romans 13, you have to have all the fruits of the Spirit. And one of them is self-control. And it seems like these men didn't have it. I was talking to a Navy SEAL friend, and he said all it would have taken is one of these guys to say, stop. And they could have
put some patience, some peace in this moment, and no one did. But then I'm also thinking, well, I can't wait for these police officers to try and defend themselves, because what did they know that we don't? Because they were all acting like this. So I don't know. I look forward to what's going to happen next in the trial.
Mike, you have a special out on the 1st, or it's coming, I believe, about identity politics, which I absolutely detest. But I feel like I'm actually a minority in that, Mike, because I feel like if everyone detested it, there'd be a lot less of it. But it's all you get anymore. What color you are, what do you look like, what do you do? It's endless.
Now, I wonder about that. I hope more people hate it. They just don't have the courage to say it, which is why it's important you talk about how much it's all. I think it could be the death of this country. It's got to stop. There's no such thing as race. All right, we talk about that on the podcast, and we also talk about that on the special. There's no such thing as race. It doesn't exist. It's all about culture. Culture is all that matters. Race is bad science. The very short of it, Samuel Morton, he was a scientist like the 1830s. He took the skulls of different people from around the world, and he filled them with mustard seed. And then he determined which grouping of people had the biggest heads. Therefore, they had the biggest brains. Therefore, they were the smartest. Therefore, most superior. And the skulls from the people from the Caucasus mountain region had the biggest skulls, therefore brains, therefore smartest. And that's why white people are called Caucasian. Okay? That is horrifically, like, comically bad science from the early 1800s. And we still live it. We still talk in those language, in the words that were used by the science 200 years ago. We have to knock it off. We have to reject all of it. On the special, we also talk about Darwin. If you believe in race and racism, it stems from Charles Darwin, this idea that humans come from different primates that were around the world, and some humans have advanced more than other primates, and like so white people have advanced a lot over the millions of years from primates, but black people, they're still kind of like monkeys because they didn't advance a lot, so we're better than they're subhuman. This is all Darwinism. It's all evolution nonsense compared to the biblical point of view, which is we all come from one man, and we're all created in God's image, by God, in God's image. Like, totally different worldviews leave you to totally different places. So we talk about that, and then the 1619 Project, the left just wants to teach kids that you're a victim. And they don't want to teach true black history in this Black History Month, because if you taught true black history, you would teach incredible stories of people overcoming obstacles. But they don't want to do that, because they can't teach the story of someone overcoming an obstacle 200 years ago and then say, oh, but you're oppressed and can't overcome it. So all they do is tell stories of oppression and victimhood to try to continue this narrative in the next generation. And it's horrific. It's evil. It's awful. So in the special, we share some real American history. Morgan Freeman said, black history is American history. And that's true. So we share real American history.
Mike Slater, come back soon, my man. Go watch that special.
Slater,
I appreciate
what
you.
Do we do about it? What do we do, Slater? I don't know, Jesse.
I didn't.
That's why.
I didn't.
You were going to.
I didn't do it. I did. Dear brother.
Thanks, bro.
All right. We actually are going to do a tribute, a Black History Month tribute. Maybe a bit of a tearjerker. And we're going to do that in just a second. Before we do that, here's what I want. Just in case you get choked up and cry during the next segment, that's going to be upsetting. Right? Well, here's what I don't want. I don't want you to be cold and crying. That's no fun at all. So go grab your Gen 40 space heater from Eden Pure and make sure that you can be warm and toasty while you bawl and sob. And Jesse, that was so beautiful. Right now they're $50 off, right? So this is infrared heat. Don't worry about your puppy. Don't worry about your kitty. Don't worry about your kids. They're not going to burn themselves on it. Heats up an entire room with infrared heat. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. Gets you $50 off that space heater. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. Go get you a Gen 40 heater, all right? We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And as you probably have heard, if you have stepped outside of your home or turned on the television or done virtually anything today, you've probably heard that today is the very beginning of Black History Month, sacred month here in America, a month where white America gets the virtue signal for 28 days, I believe, just how not racist they are. It's very precious. So I thought we should do something a little bit more serious and somber here. Instead of our usual light in the mood, let's honor somebody tonight. It is the start of Black History Month. Let's honor a true Black hero of the civil rights era, Mr. Sean King. Happy Black History Month, Sean. We shall overcome. See you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.